over the last few Sundays, we've been looking together at some of the things that God expects us to do as believers in Him, the non-negotiable things. And last week we looked at love. Love for God, love for one another, and love for others. Well, this morning I want us to think about prayer. In fact, prayer falls into a category of its own. Prayer is more than just a non-negotiable for the believer. It is an essential part of being a Christian. Prayer is our, I guess you say, prayer is like breathing. It's like spiritual oxygen, isn't it? The more we pray, the more alive we are, the more strong we are, the more things the Lord does through us and to His glory. It was with a prayer that our Christian life began in the first place. And it's through prayer that we have this tremendous connection with God. In fact, prayer enables us to connect with God, but also God to connect with us by His Spirit. When you turn to the Bible in the book of Genesis and the story there that they have of creation, we find that at the beginning of that story, we discover God creating all sorts of stuff, including the animals. But then God decided He wanted to create man. And He decided to create something entirely different. And Genesis 1:24 says this, or 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man, but let's make man in our own image and in our own likeness." Now stop for a moment and think about it. That was the incredible difference from everything else that God had created. That within man was something that would set us apart from the animals and other creation. And it was something that would enable God to connect with us and us to connect with God. And this connection was so very obvious at the beginning. It was wonderful, the fellowship that God and man and woman had in the garden and the fellowship that they enjoyed. And then sin entered the world and that fellowship was broken. We're told that the image of God in man was marred, was twisted, was warped. Yet strangely, there remained in humankind this desire to connect with God, or to substitute something or someone for God who could be worshipped. And God responded to that by enabling man to reconnect to Him through sacrifices that atone for what the Bible calls sin, the wrongdoing, and through prayer. In Jeremiah 29, I find this tremendously wonderful statement that God makes to His people, the Jews. Now, He makes it in the context of them being in captivity. They're in exile. He's talking about the time when He will release them from exile. But even though it's in that context, I find here a tremendous promise concerning what happens when any person, any one of us, and any person in our whole world, be they really bad or really good by worldly standards, when they turn to God in prayer. And this is what it says. Jeremiah 29:13-14. "You will seek me." This is God talking. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." The reason? "Because I will be found by you." I love that. I think that's fantastic. Then there's another beautiful promise in Isaiah 58:11. "Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and He will say, 'Here am I.'" I think that's tremendous too. And then in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me, says God, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Now, isn't that an encouragement to prayer? See, God is all sufficient. We know that. That's very obvious, that God doesn't need us. He is sufficient in Himself. And yet, He created man to have fellowship with himself. And he yearns for that fellowship with you and me still. Why he should, I don't know, but he does. That's the wonder of our God. And that is why what was happening in the Old Testament was never enough. Something more was needed. The sacrifices and the prayers there were just a lead up to what he'd already planned should happen. And that's why God came to this world. And he came as a man. And he died upon the cross for all that sin, all those wrongdoings, to atone for it. Then he rose again to show his power and his might, and that he claimed the victory over death. And he did all that so that he could once again offer, as a free gift of his grace, fellowship with him. Fellowship now, but fellowship that will go on into eternity and be more beautiful, more wonderful, more exciting than our earthly minds could ever, ever comprehend. And it's fellowship that begins now on this earth, what, with prayer. As we journey here on our life mission, prayer, connecting with God. Prayer is many things for the Christian. And we use prayer for many reasons. Prayer is a vehicle for our praises. In words, in song, in tunes, in the way we sing, the beautiful songs of praise, in our thoughts, it is a vehicle for our praise. Prayer is the means by which we seek help, whether we seek it for ourselves or whether we seek it for others in situations of life. Prayer is the opportunity to open up our hearts to God, to share with him how we feel, share with him our pain and our joys, to talk with him of our dreams, our hopes, our fears, our frustrations, to express our love, and at times even to express our anger, express our sadness, but also our delight in him. Prayer is the road back into God's favour when we've drifted away, when things have come between us, when we've done what we know is wrong, and we come through confession to seek from him through repentance, the renewal. Prayer is the pathway back to God. So prayer is many things. And of course, we get a lot of teaching in the Bible about prayer. Jesus himself talks so much about prayer. But more than his teaching, Jesus gave us this tremendous example of prayer. You often hear about Jesus praying, don't you? And you often hear about him spending the whole night in prayer. I think Jesus basically says to us, well, look, if I needed to pray, you need it just as much. And he was also showing us that we need to cultivate an ongoing prayer life if we want to grow as believers, if we really want to do the will of God. He also gave us the prayer pattern. We call it the Lord's Prayer, the pattern of prayer that Jesus gave us. And it's got that glorious and intimate title for God, our Father. Would we have been as brave to call God Father as Jesus hadn't said, when you pray, say, our Father? It's great, isn't it? But as well as that, he gave us some specific teaching. That reading I read to you from Luke chapter 18 contains teaching about prayer through two parables. Two different types of teaching, or two different teachings about prayer. And regarding the first teaching about prayer, we read this in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So we know what this parable is going to teach us. It told us always to pray and not to give up. And it's one of those comic stories from the Bible. We can imagine this happening, can't we, when we read the story. It's about a widow. A widow who has a really big legal problem. She can't solve it herself, and it needs to be solved. And so she goes to see the judge about it. Unfortunately, that judge is an unjust judge. He doesn't care about God. He doesn't care what people think about him. He's probably corrupt. Not a very nice guy to know. That's the judge, the only person she can go to. And she doesn't stand a chance of getting any help. She has no power. Power's everything. Was in those days, still is today, isn't it? She had no power before him. She was just a widow. She had no resources, it would seem. She couldn't bribe him. She was a woman. That was pretty bad in those days. And on top of that, she was a widow. She had no man to stand up for her. But, says Jesus, she doesn't give up. She bothers the life out of that mare. Sorry, did I say mayor? I meant judge. Because, thankfully, this is not the way the mayor does business in Joondalup. But she bothers the life out of that judge until he's had enough. And he helps her out, not because he wants to or because he likes her. In fact, by this time he hates her. But to get her out of his hair. Now, that's not the way the mayor does business. But the important teaching is it's not the way God the Father does business either. He is so opposite to that judge. You know, even the most powerless person in this whole world can turn to God and God will look upon him and care for him and love him. That's true, isn't it? And isn't that wonderful? We, you know, when we think of who our God is, we've got every reason to pray and keep on praying. But this parable also teaches us something else that sometimes we might miss. It teaches us that our prayers to God won't always be answered in an instant. We are an instant society, aren't we? We love things very, very quickly. You know, a lot of our prayers won't be answered that quickly. In fact, expect delays. But when the delays come, you will know this. They're because God has his timing, which is right. He has his picture, which is full and knows all things. But delays are never due to the fact that God is not hearing. Never due to the fact that God is not caring. It's never due to the fact that God is like that unjust judge, because he is not. In fact, he couldn't be more unlike that judge if you tried. So always pray, says Jesus. Always pray. Whatever you're praying for at the moment, you might have been praying for years. Keep on praying. Never, ever give up. And that's interesting because he makes a final comment, does Jesus, at the end of this parable. This is what it is, verse 8. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Amongst his people, that is. Or as the Message paraphrase puts it, but how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? What persistent faith? Well, praying. Praying in faith. How much of that persistent faith? How many of these people will he find who pray and pray and pray and pray and never give up when he returns? That's a bit of a challenge for us, isn't it, to think about. In the second parable, the teaching about prayer is very different. And Jesus uses this parable to show, sadly, that there is a type of prayer that doesn't touch God's heart. It's the prayer like this Pharisee prayed. Luke 18, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. The Greek on this is quite interesting. It actually says he prayed to himself. That really sums it up, doesn't it? He was praying to himself and hoping a few around would hear and think, boy, he's a nice guy. He's a great guy. And that's the whole attitude he had in prayer. And consequently, his prayer was a waste of breath. He did not connect with God. But the repentant tax collector, he did. Why? He was sincere in what he prayed. And it's the sincere prayer, however short, however awkward and incorrect it may sound to us, that connects with the heart of God every time. You know, that brings us right back where I started. Seeing prayer as this precious God-given means of connecting with God and God connecting with us. And consequently, our prayers, whatever we've been praying about, are extremely precious to God. And he will hear them. You know, I'd already started preparing this message, or well, a little bit into it anyhow, when I read the word for today. You know, our little devotional book that we read, or many of us read, I read that last Friday. I always love it when it confirms what I'm preaching about, because I think, well, I'm on the right track. Great. And what was written there was just so relevant to what I was thinking about regarding what I was saying to you today. And I thought, well, I've got to share it with you. So I've got part of this devotion. I'm going to read it to you. He's talking about heaven and the book of Revelation. He says, the prayers of all God's people went up to God, which is what Revelation says. Isn't that awesome? Your words don't stop until they reach the heart of God. So keep praying. And then he talks about the story about Lazarus. You know, when Lazarus was sick and he sent a messenger to Jesus to say that he was sick. Notice that the friend who went to Jesus on behalf of Lazarus said, Lord, the one you love is sick. He didn't base his appeal on the imperfect love of the one in need, but on the perfect love of Jesus. He didn't say, the one who loves you is sick. He said, the one you love is sick. That's different. The power of prayer doesn't depend on the virtue of the one who prays, but on the unchanging love of the one who hears. Aren't you glad about that? I know I am. You may be deeply flawed. You may not understand the mystery of prayer, but this much is clear. Action begins in heaven when someone on earth prays. That's fantastic. Yet, having acknowledged all that about prayer this morning, we know that prayer is not actually the easiest thing for us to regularly do. So easy, but I don't know, it's also hard. It is a prayer life is something that we have to develop. We don't become a Christian and suddenly, slap, put into us this wonderful prayer life. Which is a pity. But we've got to develop it. We have to want prayer to grow as part of who we are. We have to want it to grow from an activity that we have to deliberately make time for to something that is so natural that we couldn't consider life without the ribbon of prayer flowing through it. I guess it's rather like an exercise program. You know, you decide you've got to exercise. It's going to be good for you. And yet at first it's so hard to find the 30 minutes a day they suggest. So in the end you might do with 20 minutes every, you know, 3 days a week or something like that. And you set yourself to do it, but it just is an effort, it would seem. But then, after a while, what happens? To most, perhaps some, that you actually start to enjoy it. And you get into the routine, and you go, and you miss it if you can't get there. And you get to the point where you could hardly envisage life without it. Is that right, John? You keeping up your exercise program? And it's similar with prayer. That's where I'm coming to here. Make the time to connect with God. And if you make that time to connect every day, a set period where you just want to connect with God, when you do that, that's not easy. That's not easy to do that. At first, it will seem strange. At first, you will sit down for 15 minutes. You will pray like crazy. You think you're finished and find you've only gone for 3 minutes. It will seem strange. It will seem hard. And it will be evasive on your time. But it's from that discipline beginning, you see, that you will begin to grow in your appreciation of prayer as connecting with God and God connecting with you. And after a while, you will find that praying has infiltrated every part of your day, as natural as breathing. You know, that's the way I developed my prayer life. When I became a Christian, I didn't get the prayer package either. And I must admit, I did struggle for that. For many years, even when I got into the ministry, I still found something I was struggling with. And I can assure you, it was not easy at first to set that time just to pray. And neither was it without its stops and starts. I have plenty of them along the way. But you know, for quite a number of years now, that period where I set to just stop and speak with God and share with Him for a time every morning is the most precious part of my day. Everything about it is precious. The cup of coffee I have when I sit with the Bible open and praying is the best cup of coffee I have all day, even if it's only an instant out of a jar. And that's because it's a special time. But more than that, it has built such a relationship that I enjoy with God by His grace, that I find myself constantly talking to God through the remainder of the day. It's like taking a walk with God all the time. You know, God points things out and he makes you aware of something. Oh, yeah. Or you say, hey, God, do you see that? Oh, God, help me here. I need it. And it's that wonderful, wonderful privilege of connecting with God. Prayer is how we connect with God, but also how God connects with us. And the more, you know, we value our prayer, the more we will sense the beauty of that connection. A connection with God, let me remind you, for which we were created.